a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Qantas just nailing it at the moment. You know, they're getting, copping a bit of flack for, you know, cancelling flights and that type of business.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about Robert. Robert's had an experience with them and he's finally managed to resolve a dispute with them, but it was quite the roller coaster. Let's read on together.
Okay.
He thought he'd finally rebooked a return flight from Sydney to Adelaide for his wife and son. And then he was randomly hit with two unauthorised transactions from Qantas totalling $718.82.
Okay.
So not a small amount.
No.
Right. His actual tussle with the airline had started nearly a week earlier. Mr. Manning had attempted to rebook his flights with his past flight credits on Sunday, August 28th. When their booking system refused him the purchase. So he's, I think this was like a COVID thing. They've cancelled the flight. They've given him a credit. Instead, he's tried to book with the with that.
Yeah.
And it said no. Another attempt to book the flights on the Wednesday saw the three return flights increase by $1,300. So said no on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yes on Wednesday. However, it's going to be an extra $1,300.
Funny how that works, isn't it?
During this period, he had spent more than 9 hours on the phone speaking to Qantas customer service reps before he switched to the airline's Facebook Messenger system.
Yeah.
He says, they'll put you on hold and you listen to music and then it just goes silent, but your phone doesn't hang up, just goes silent and no one ever comes back.
Yeah.
So then you have to hang up. He goes, it happened 12 times. You call back and you have to tell the whole story again, start fresh with a new customer service representative. That's...
It breaks you.
Yeah, that's always fun.
That breaks you.
Finally, on the Friday, a call with a customer service representative resolved the problem. She was able to get him and his family their three return flights at a price only slightly higher than the fare that was advertised on the Sunday.
Okay.
Right? Or so he thought. It wasn't until an hour and a half later he noticed two unexplained charges on his bank statement, one for $115.44 and second for $603.38. So that's your $718. Then he had to call Qantas back again.
Oh.
He subsequent calls to the airline also saw Qantas customer service representatives incorrectly advise him that if there was a mistake, it would have come back automatically. So... It's like if they, it would have bounced straight back, they reckon. If it was
they, do you know what? I don't want to, I'm going to say allegedly here.
Yeah.
Just cover me.
Yeah.
Cover of alleged behaviour. Do you think that they do this in the hope that it's like, oh, that'll break 9 out of 10 people?
Too much wrangling.
Too much. Effort. You just, yeah. Oh, who cares? For the $700, I'll just get on with life. But then you've got people like us that never give up. And you just keep on going.
Not for $700, mate.
No way.
So he rang up again. They couldn't tell him a booking reference, anything like that for the charges. I don't understand how a random amount can be an incorrect charge without some sort of mistake they made at their end.
Yeah.
Problem was resolved nearly a week later on the following Thursday. He estimates he made 31 calls to Qantas, 2 calls to his bank during the process, 9 hours on the phone across 2 weeks before the error was fixed.
Oh, that is BS. Maybe they were like, oh, yeah, we can give you the flights back. It's just for a slightly higher amount. Yeah, sweet. Charge him.
Qantas have apologised. This was an error made by an operator during a complex booking process and we're investigating what went wrong and how we can make sure it doesn't happen again, and then they never talk about it ever again.
Yeah. We wipe our hands of that one. But you know what? We can give you a credit for the 9 hours that you spent on the phone. We can give you a credit, but you can't use it on between Monday and Sunday. Sorry about that.
Absolutely.
Want more of that gear? Just tune in weekdays from 6 on K-Rock 955 or at krock.com.au. That's where you go for more Tom, Lingy and Loggy Gold.
I was very excited, very lucky to be able to do something for my friends and their family on the weekend.
Oh, yeah, you told me you were doing this. Yeah.
So it was a good mate's mum's 70th birthday and I'm also mates with her mum. So happy 70th birthday. And I was the chauffeur. So they were staying at one of the caravan parks in OG and they were going to a couple of wineries around, right? And so I picked them up and I kind of went, I teamed with the theme, right? So I went with a full suit. option.
Yeah.
And I picked them up and I had a little esky in the back with some little champagnes and some fresh waters, and I had a playlist. And
oh, we were talking about Uber before. You really are an Uber driver.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. The funny thing was, my car is too smart for me. I don't really understand how it works. So it was kind of raining. It was a bit cold, right? And so yeah. I went to pick them up and they were on the side of the road. And then I parked the car and I had the tunes going like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they couldn't open the door, and they're like, oh, open the door. But we're I was getting, just like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Do I put it in park? Do I put it in? I'm not sure. And I had to turn my car off so that they could open the doors. I'm terrible. My car's too smart for me. I don't get it.
You know, anyway, you've got a button that unlocks the doors, don't you?
Yeah, but no. But anyway, yeah, I forgot about the button. So so anyway.
So what I did was I set the car on fire.
I know. It was almost like that. Also, and you know how you always drive worse when there's people you got to impress in the car? What's up with that?
Yeah, because you're stressing
out.
Sitting
every pothole.
You're overthinking it.
Yeah, anyway, we got there and that's fine. They dropped them off at the first winery.
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm like, see, I took some photos and everything, got out, parked, took some photos of them. Blah, blah.
Did you just wait in the car park?
No. I went home.
Stand there punching darts.
Yeah, because I also live on the Ballerine.
Right, so you're not far.
So I'm not far. So I went home, had a little nap.
Oh, that surprises me.
And then I woke up and I was like, oh. And Jimmy's like, I knew you were going to be like this. I knew you shouldn't have napped. But that was fine. Napped, went up, picked them up, took them to the second destination, right?
Yeah.
At this destination, we're walking through. Now, my group, they're fine. You know, they've had a few. But they're fine. You know what I mean? They're just smiling, having a good time. We walk to this winery that I'm not going to name, okay? And it's a group of ladies out the front.
Mm.
Now, they have been, they're like, do you girls have a booking? Because we didn't have a booking. We're not allowed inside. Right? Not allowed inside. Yeah. And I was like, okay, yeah. And then there's not drunk girls plus drunk girls equals best friends, right?
Oh, really?
So my group started milling with this group, and I was like, girls, we've got to go. We've got a booking. And then these gentlemen from the winery ran out the front and was like, excuse me, ladies, I'll need you to take all your wine glasses. They had obviously had a few, got booted out, but kept all their wine glasses because they've got the label on it.
Sure.
And they were like, oh, come on, mate, you know. And I was just like, oh, God. Anyway, so we walked in, right?
Okay, so
we
didn't lose anyone.
We didn't lose anyone. Walked in, sat down, beautiful. Had a wine tasting. Great time, whatever.
Oh, so you hung around for this one?
I hung around. They said, come in for this one. I was like, no. And they're like, no, come in.
No, I want to go back.
We're sick of talking
to
each other. We want to be here with you. And I'm like, okay. Sure. So I went in and it was great. A little cheese platter. They had a wine tasting, whatever. I had a wine. And then as we were leaving, and you could just see, because I haven't been to a winery late afternoon sober before.
Yeah.
You just really look around and you feel for the stars. And I just looked at the staff and I was like, right, I feel for
it's
you.
It's not easy, I imagine.
No. And we left and this old mate that ran out to get the glasses off the original group ran out and said, you left all your bags and jackets here. So not me, just some other members of
the
my
other
group,
girls.
Right?
Okay.
And they had to run back.
Yeah, sure.
Grab their jackets and their handbags and stuff. And it got me thinking. Would you rather do the shift at a winery between 3 and 5 or the night bit of the winery? Not winery at night time. Because here's my thoughts, right?
Okay.
Winery late afternoon, the witching hour, is when people that have been out all day, a lot of the time in the sun, right? They're finishing up with you and they don't care.
They're peaking and they're going downhill now.
Yeah, they're going downhill, right? They want food, they're hungry, and they're thirsty for more wine.
Yeah.
Nighttime winery, I feel like people generally rock up there, they're dressed up, they're there for an occasion, and maybe later in the night they'll get a few on. But I suggest that working a winery at the witching hour would be way worse than working it right at the end of the day.
I don't disagree with that at all. I'd love to hear from somebody who knows, even like not even just some sort of hospo venue, but a winery specifically. Does it suck to work there between the hours of, say, 3 and 6?
The witching hour, I'm calling
on
it.
On the weekend.
Could not pay me enough, Tom. The Tom.
Dingy and Loggy podcast.
So this one happened in America, but I just want to know from you two, cool or very, very not cool.
Mm.
So a lady's posted on her Instagram. She's sitting on a beach. I'm not sure where the beach was, but it looks quite nice. It looks like more of an East Coast beach in America. Set up on a towel, nice day, and takes a photo of a more of an older couple who, on a reasonably vacant beach, set up their two chairs, like, right in front of where this lady's clearly sunbathing and relaxing with her friends. Right in front of, as in blocking sort of the water's view a little bit. But and these two little deck chairs and nice little setup.
Oh, it's the old, like, yeah, it's the full arrangement. Not a tent, though?
No, no tent. Okay. No tent. But it's kind of, I get in that photo, you're thinking, hey, you've got an entire beach that's pretty empty. Did you need to set up only a couple of metres in front of where we are, like right in our view of the water?
Yeah.
Not that you can't see the water at all, but hey, it's a big beach. Could you move a little bit?
Yeah.
It happens at the beach. Everyone, you know, when it's a packed day, it happens all the time. But in a, on a quiet, empty day, you think, hey, can you sit somewhere else, please? What this lady has done, though, is the question that I want answered from you too. So to get rid of these people or to make them move, this lady has gone and got out of her bag, opened a pack of potato chips, like Smith's sort of potato chips or whatever it is, and gone and stealthily snuck behind these two older people who were sitting there and sprinkled a whole bunch of the potato chips directly behind them on her way for a, like, a pretend walk to the water's edge.
Yeah.
Oh, because ants, they'll get them. Bloody ants.
No, not ants. Birds have come from everywhere.
Seagulls. That makes more sense.
Seagulls.
It does. Yeah.
I think on this one it was...
the ants will get them eventually.
It's more of a slow burn with the ants, isn't it?
They're just going to sneak up the chair just behind them. But these a swarm of blackbirds quickly surround the unidentified couple, eventually forcing them to grab all their gear and move to a different location on the beach.
Okay.
Now, a lot of people have posted and said, genius move. I wish I knew that. That's a brilliant idea. Others, of course, have attacked this lady saying, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realise you owned the beach.
The whole beach,
This is just nasty, this sort of stuff. And she's also posted a photo of the fact that they're moving, so capturing it all happening.
Mm.
What do you reckon?
I've been kind of in a situation like this before, but at the movies. So it was an empty movie theatre, basically, and I was sitting... There was a walkway in between and the seats coming off the left and right. I was sitting on the right-hand side, right at the edge there, and I had a whole row to myself. And these older people came in, excuse me, pardon me, whatever, sat in my row. In my row, like, excuse me, pardon me, oh, whatever. In my actual row, even though everything else
you bought
was
the tickets to the entire row.
Well, they obviously agreed with your choice of positioning.
Yeah,
in the
it must have been that exact position. Yeah. Sat next to me. There was no one else.
Oh, right next to you, didn't it? Not even a few seats down.
No, took up the whole rolling, and there was like 20 of them. Once I was sitting there, once the movie, because I wanted to cry. The movie was Red Dog. I knew I was going to cry.
Right.
So once the credits started, I mean, not the credits, but once the opening attraction started, I got up and moved and sat somewhere else. Although I did hear them go, what's wrong with that?
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I got up and moved. I didn't say, oh, for God's sakes or anything. Yeah. So I feel like this woman should, she can be annoyed, but she should have just moved. If there's so much room on the beach, just pick up your towel and move it then.
Rather than let the birds attack these.
Yeah,
elderly,
I kind of feel
couple.
Bad.
Tommy?
For context, I've seen this. I've seen the video and the footage and stuff. And so they are still probably about 20 metres away from her. They're not. It's not like they're 3 feet away.
Yeah.
They haven't plonked themselves right in front of her. So they are on the way to the water, but she's like up the back of the sand
on
the warm, soft stuff, and they're kind of closer to the kind of the
wet sand.
The wetter sand, right? And not only that, but it's an empty beach. There's actually quite a lot of people on the beach.
So
they were going to be sitting probably, if they're going to sit that close to the water, they're probably going to be sitting in front of someone no matter where they go. So I think it's a bit of a D move, to be honest.
Yeah. I think it's a D move. What about you, Cameron Link?
I just would never confront. I just would have put up with it.
Yeah.
Just lay
there. Wouldn't know. You'd stick your little face out of your tent and be like, don't get me, son. But you don't have a view of the water anyway. You're indoors always.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Jump with Brad Johnson for Prestige Jayco Geelong, your local Jayco dealer. Open 7 days. The big game is this Saturday. We know now, Cats versus Swans. Either of you, Lingy or Jono, where's it going to be won and lost?
I'll talk Swannies then, because the coat man can talk about his beloved club. And look, the Swannies are just tough around the ball. That's their go-to. Now, we know Geelong are as well, but this is where they have to try and take some initiative. Tom Hickey in the ruck has to play a really important role in this. He gets behind the ball, takes intercept marks, and then they feed off that. So Blakey's a good user of the ball. Errol Goulden's probably one of the best kicks in the competition. He sets up their ball movement back through the corridor, and then it opens up. The one question mark is on Sam Reed, who's in really good form at the moment for the Swans. He came off the ground injured, and he was clunking everything. So structurally, he's really important if he can get up. And then there's the big Budwar. That could be the difference. At one end of the ground is big Lance Franklin. And, what a year he's had. Some massive milestones, but this could be the perfect full stop for, what he's tried to achieve at the Sydney Swans.
Well, there is the tiny, tiny possibility that this could be the last time we see Lance Franklin and Joel Selwood, two of the absolute greatest ever. I'm not preempting it, but there's a tiny chance that's the case. Phenomenal way to finish for either of them. You're right, he does loom large. Isaac Heaney in that forward line as well. From the Cats' perspective, I think they've got to be able to match them in the contest and that hardness in the middle of the ground. The outside run and the scintillating ball use of Friday night blew me away even more than what they've been doing. Geelong have to play like that again with that fast pace, fast tempo. Max Holmes potentially missing, and the heartbreak of that is not just heartbreaking for him, it really hurts the Cats because his up and down the ground speed is phenomenal.
Those running bounces were broke the game open the other night. And you know what's back? The danger dance is back. The danger dance is where he dives on it full ball, bounces up, and then he's away. He is back to full ball. So look out for if the danger dance is up and about, then the Cats will be unstoppable.
Clearly best on ground on Friday night, Paddy Danger. You know what I noticed about him? He seemed to play more within himself on Friday night. Rather than, I've seen him in other finals almost try too hard.
That's a good point.
And rush things and make mistakes and haven't had the greatest games. He played within himself. The game came to him a little bit, and then he influenced, and he was supreme when the game was there to be won. So that's a really good sign for the Cats as well.
Now, the Swans kind of stopped, really, and to quote you, Tom, on against Collingwood. And that last quarter, they came back, and it was edge-of-your-seat stuff. How are they going to stop that from happening this weekend?
Yeah, well, it's a credit to Collingwood's year, really. It is. They played every minute of every game, and that's why they got to the position that they did and nearly got themselves into a grand final. And look, there would have been a lot of pressure on the Swans' defence in that last quarter. Even to rush those last couple acts showed a little bit of composure, knowing that they had the buffer to close it out. But They were completely gone. Yeah, so Collingwood had the run of the play, but they held on.
Jono, just for the Collingwood fans listening right now, and I don't know if this makes it hurt more. Was that a push in the back from Tom Papley on Darcy Moore?
You got 6'4" versus 5'8". There's only one way you're going to get him out of the way, isn't it? And that's push him in the back. Trust me. And that's just the rub of the green that went their way on that occasion. And that's just that's just the reality. You know, Libba, yes, kicked the goal in 97. We still remember that.
It
was called a point. So, Collingwood fans, I know what you're going through.
Exactly.
All right. Well, it's going to be an amazing game. Next time we speak to you, Brad Johnson, we will know who has won the 2022.
Right. Are you going to be able to come in that day?
I'll be right. I don't know about the man to my right, but I'll be here.
You're right to take my shift.
I will. Yeah. I will help you
out. We'll see you at 7 a.m. then, Johnny.
Have you got a tip before we go?
I'm going the Catters.
Yeah.
They've been the best team Oh, well, in the second half of the season, they've been the best team by a little bit, so I think they'll clean it up.
By margin? How much?
Yeah.
Margin, 20 points.
Okay. And Norm Smith, just want to put you on the spot.
Norm Smith medal will go to P. Dangerfield.
Oh, okay. Lingy loves all of that. Yeah. Also interesting to note that Collingwood, apparently their Mad Monday is being planned by DeGoey Party.
You just have to throw it in, don't you?
Look forward to hearing about that this week too. K-Rock.
Tom, Lingy and Rocky. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime? And listen on air at K-Rock 955 weekday mornings from 6.